Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Hello. Well, welcome to the show. This is the show on 101.9 Chai FM. And this, of course, is the where we connect to insights, information, and illumination. I can't believe that we've hit mid-March and that the Jerusalem Marathon is literally around the corner, being the 4th of April. And there are some of you who are listening who are furiously training for the marathon. And there are others who are taking part by simply supporting, by donating, by being a part of something pretty extraordinary. Team DL Link will be going over, running through the streets of Jerusalem. Of course, it's so much more than just a race. It is really with a purpose. We always talk about the runners running with the name of a warrior on their backs. We've heard stories from the runners who talk about, you know, how hilly Jerusalem is, but when they are busy running up that hill, what they think about is the warrior who has their own hill to climb on their cancer journey, and that seems to give them the energy that is needed. So it really is extraordinary. If you want to go and see who is going to be running the Jerusalem Marathon for the DL Link, you can visit their website and hopefully you'll find someone and you'll make a donation because that's really why they're doing it. It's to raise funds for the DL Link so that they can do what they do so incredibly well. So please do visit the DL Link website and go to events and go to the Jerusalem Marathon. And hopefully you'll be able to make a pledge. So that is www.dllink.co.za. So the 8th of March was International Women's Day. And Professor Elna McIntosh, who always makes contributions and, you know, and helps in terms of women and women's health. She is a clinical sexologist and she herself is a breast cancer warrior. Recently, she wrote about the health checks that women should be looking at throughout their lives. And so we're going to be discussing that with the professor, but also the professor will be sharing her story. So, Prof, welcome and lovely to have you on the show.
Hi, Lee. Thank you so much. Hello.
Hi, you there?
Am I there,
Elna?
I'm here. You can hear me. Can you hear me clear?
We can hear you now. Thank you so much. It's really lovely to have you on the show. And as I said, you know, in celebration of Women International Day on the 8th of March, yes. You wrote that article about on Buddies for Life on a guide to what health checks women need and when they need it. But before we get there, Professor, maybe you can just share your story. I mean, you are a clinical sexologist and a breast cancer warrior. And perhaps you can, just tell us, because it's been twice that you've survived breast cancer. And maybe you can just share, you know, very quickly what that experience has been like for you and how it's impacted your life.
It was lovely to just listen and hear about the Jerusalem Marathon. I actually ran the New York Marathon in 1998.
Wow.
There also you put, because I was studying in America, blah, blah, blah. But so she was sort of supporting me and go back a few 15 years later, she is a breast cancer survivor. So it's amazing that we have these races where you actually celebrate the warrior or somebody who has passed. In New York Marathon, people celebrate all sorts of things, but we specifically did it for my breast cancer at the time. So I was 32 when we discovered the lump, and then it took a while for people to actually go, no, you're too young, because that's, I'm 66 now, so it's 34 years later. So for me, the biggest thing, I just want to see my son through school. And then it came back in when I was 48. And so now it's many years later again. So my message always is, go back, do your checks, do your pap smears, do all your things, and we'll go through all the things that we check. But early detection saved my life. And I must just share that most lumps are found by men, because men are the ones who also check our breasts. So my partner discovered the lump and kept on insisting.
Wow, Professor. I mean, that's, as you say, the early detection saved your life. You know, it's 34 yes. years ago since your first diagnosis, and then the second time at the age of 48 it came back. So I want to talk about the psychological part of it. And we started off talking about a race and that it must yeah. feel like such a marathon. It's not the race, it's a marathon going along this yeah. you know, this cancer journey. You've done it twice. So in terms of the psychology, you've gone through everything, you think it's behind you, you're in remission, and then at 48 you feel the lumps again. Your response, were you like, did you want to just kind of say it's not possible, you didn't want to go there, or did you immediately say, oh, there's something there, let me check? Like, what was your response to it second time round?
So the second time I didn't even feel a lump. I went for my routine, because I go yearly for my mammograms, so important. And on the mammogram they said, there's something there, we need to do further investigations. Thank you, Prof. Carol Ann Benn, who then did my second surgery. The first time I was just about surviving, and I almost move on with my life. And I call it a hurried woman. And there's things been written about hurried woman syndromes, but I became very urgent with everything. I had to finish my PhD. I have to get my son through school. I have to blah, 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 just like run. And then I sort of went into like, oh, life's great, life's wonderful. But the second time hit me really hard, because I suddenly was like, I can't believe this is happening. Why is it? You know, it's almost like those five stages of grief, where you go, can't be, not true, why me, Lord? You know, all the anger, the denial. And also the second time I had to have radiation and quite extensive surgery, because it came back in my scar.
And I had a really
radical
so
mastectomy.
Oh, Professor,
time.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Professor, I'm so sorry we lost you, and you probably carried on talking and you didn't even know that we couldn't hear you.
I have been chatting away to myself. I'm going to sit in a place where it might be better. Maybe the reception.
Okay. All right, you better. Find that place, because what you have to say is so valuable. And I almost want to just pause for a moment, because you kind of rushed through this hurried woman syndrome. And I'd love you to just pause yeah. for a moment and expand on this. Are you saying it was the first time round that you had this hurried woman syndrome? And what
yes.
is that?
Yes. So I was just in a hurry to finish everything, to get ready, because, you know, I'm just going to die soon. So I must hurry up. And even though I had a radical mistake, at the time, I was like skinny. So people would say to me, did they take both your breasts off? And I'm like, no, just the one. And also going back 34 years ago, that was sort of the treatment, radical mastectomy. Mm-hmm. Now there's the breast cancer field has changed so much over the years. So it didn't really bother me that I didn't have a left breast. But the second time around, Professor Ben actually did a fancy operation, took my back muscle, made it my front. I'm back to front now. My back is my front. I have a boob. So surgery. But the second time really hit me hard. And it was almost like I was reliving all the things from 20 years before. But, yeah, and the hurried woman's and a lot of breast cancer women, because we're so busy looking after other people that we stop to look after ourselves. So it's not really a diagnosis. It's just like a common trait in breast cancer patients. You know, and not all of us are going to become hurried woman. But I think there is this urgency of my kids are too small. My, you know, just many. I mean, each patient always are so, they are so unique, and mm-hmm. her support. And I had amazing support. And I think that's also got saw me through it.
Prof, I think it's such an interesting perspective. I mean, you're talking about this hurried syndrome, women having to be there to do everything. You also said that, you know, men, you know, it was your partner who could feel the lump and the role that yeah. they play in a support system, how important that is. And I'm sure that there's so many people who are listening who can relate to this hurried woman syndrome. And yeah. I was asking the second time round what that was like. And so probably at the age of 32, being at that age, you know, I don't know what age you started, but definitely it's such a busy time with children. And then at 48, your kids are a little bit older and you start to breathe into a little bit more space if you allow yourself to do that. And so that the journey second time round must have been quite different, almost as if there was the younger self and then there was the slightly mm-hmm. older self. So perhaps from you having really experienced those different times in your life and experienced it, is there something that you want to share with our audience that you gained a perspective, an insight?
So I just want to go back. There was a lot of sadness after having the breast cancer diagnosis. I had my son quite young, in my 20s. And when I was 32, I sort of established, had my practice. And then I was sort of ready to have a child. And then they just tell you there's no ways you can fall pregnant now. And not for at least till you're almost out of a childbirth. Really, you know, nowadays you can go and put your bank your eggs and whatever. So I've only got one son. And that was sort of me in a way sad, because we all think we're going to have three or four of them. But so I just wanted to share that as well. So that yeah. sometimes women need to, there's a lot of preparation for them beforehand, because if you're in your 30s and you haven't got children, please go bank your eggs, so that you can keep them and put them on ice and then have your pregnancies later, or find a surrogate, or I don't know. But, you know, I mean, it's all easy to say, go find a surrogate. These things cost lots of money. But yeah. once you've had breast cancer, they put, like, for 5 years, a ban. You will not fall pregnant now. So, sure. I must tell you what my partner said. He said, some mythology where the warrior woman they cut their breasts off, their left breasts, to shoot the bow and arrow better. And he used to always say to me, you are an Amazon woman, you are a warrior. So it was kind of sweet of him, and I guess he wasn't really, maybe liked me a bit more for other things than my left breast. And
that's a beautiful share, Professor. That is a beautiful, beautiful share. And what a wonderful partner. What an amazing partner you have. That, as you say, with the one breast off, you were still such a woman, this Amazonian, this amazing woman in her power. I love that, Shay. Thank you so much. Prof, we're going to take a quick break. And then after yes. the break, let's start looking at these health checks. We're still having a few issues with your volume and not picking up. So I don't want to miss out on anything. So a quick break, and then let's get on to the health checks.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to the DL Link Show. I have Professor Elna McIntosh on the show, a clinical sexologist and a breast cancer warrior. Twice, Professor has been sharing her story. At the age of 32 and then at the age of 48. And really, such interesting insights shared. But Professor McIntosh wrote an article in Buddies for Life, and that was in celebration of International Women's Day, which took place on the 8th of March. And in it, she shared a guide to what health checks women need and when. So, Professor, let's start off at the beginning. Let's go through this checklist.
So, do you want me to get from the top and down, or just like the breast and the
Well, you know, I'm looking. Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking at the list, and what comes up on the list is a cholesterol check, which I find very, very interesting. And you talk about going for from the age of 40, that every 5 years you should go for a cholesterol check. And I'm so interested, does that have anything to do with menopause? Does it, why over the age of 40 does cholesterol become an issue?
So not necessarily. So that's sort of the guidelines that we give. But, you know, there's a bit of a Jewish link with cholesterol in some families. So sometimes it's good to know our ancestry and who had bypasses, and because we can find cholesterol up in much younger people. So it is important that if you haven't done cholesterol tests, if you haven't got other signs that, you know, heart conditions. But for me, cholesterol is medical aid also make you do. It's part of your vitality, which is very important. But you know, some people just have familial cholesterolemia, big word for cholesterol testing. But yeah. So I think if you go down my list, most of them are what we should do anyway. If you're a young woman, if you're pregnant, we check blood pressures all the time. I think all my patients that come for before their pap smears, I always just check blood pressure because it gives us a good guideline of what else is going on. But for me, for women's health, breast checks, we need to do that ourselves from the moment you are aware you have breasts. And also pap smears, you start, and nowadays we do the HPV test as well. And so cervical cancer screening, once we become sexually active, so important. I think the
So before we get to that, because that is important, yeah. Professor, that is very important. We're going to get to that. But let's just rewind a little bit. You spoke about the breast and how important the self-check is, really from an early age. So very, very quickly, when during the month should women be doing the self-check test? And what's the best way of doing it?
So best is wait a week. So if you're still menstruating, so a week after your period, but before, we don't want to do it in the middle of the month, so on your day 14. And maybe check then, because if you're ovulating, a lot of women have breast symptoms during ovulation as well. But you know what? The partner can also help, and he can also check for us. He can just check regularly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's almost your ritual. I just call it the B&B test. So breast and, testicles. B for balls. But men also need to check their testicles for testicular cancer. Check all
Very
the time
important.
Anyway. You know, men, they check themselves.
But Very
the
important.
Other thing is, if you find a lump and you're under 40, then we do scan. We don't do mammograms. But if there is a familial history, granny died from breast cancer, we start at age 35. We don't wait till age 40. And then 1 in 9 lumps in a breast are cancerous. The others are benign. They're not cancer. So there's things like fibroadenomas or just lumpy breasts. So if you think you have a lump, go to your GP, go to your family practitioner, go to a woman's clinic, let it have it checked out. Don't go, ugh, it's a nothing, because because a lot of people do go into denial.
Professor, I mean, you've just said 1 in 9 lumps, and we know that breasts can be very lumpy. And you don't want to be running off to your doctor every 5 minutes because you feel a lump. And yet you don't want to ignore a lump that you are feeling a little bit anxious about. So, and I'm sure that you know, it's difficult to be specific when you're talking about it, but is there something in particular, the way the lump feels? Would it move? Would it not move? Would it be harder? Would it be softer? Just for our listeners to get an idea of, you know, when to you know, make the call and go see your doctor, as opposed to just feeling a lumpy breast.
From under your arm. I mean, lymph runs right through your body, but also start feeling under your arms. Isn't there lumps under your arm? And then, does it feel smooth? Does it move? Or is it a hard lump? Because I always say, put your tongue in your cheek and then feel. And that, I'm putting my own tongue in my cheek now. It feels sort of that feeling of it's smooth and it can move. And that's probably the easiest way for me to explain what you will be feeling. Because some people do have lumps and then they go away again because they sort of go with their menstrual cycle. But maybe see what time of the month it is and repeat. And is it getting any bigger? You know, just make note. But don't ignore. Because we don't want to now see a golf ball size of a lump.
It's important to know if it's growing. That's important.
Yeah.
When you spoke about smooth and move, is that dangerous? Or is it more dangerous if it's
hard? No, it's just what I – well, you know what? We can't just by feeling the lump say this is not dangerous or not. If there's a lump, we scan it, or the GP can do a biopsy. Usually the breast surgeons will do biopsies because that's really – we want a diagnosis.
Okay. All right. So we're talking about breast self-check. We're talking about having obviously cervical cancer screening. You spoke about that, the HPV, and going for your regular mammograms. And is there anything else you'd like to just share with our audience before we say goodbye that you think would be an important screening for women?
So age 50, you know, I always say from 50 it's downhill. So now we must really check our things and bone health, because osteoporosis is a real thing. And even though we live in South Africa, some people stay out of the sun altogether. Some people are more prone to osteoporosis. So for me, when you do your breast screening, they must also do a bone density test. So that's also important. And we start doing that from age 50. Because if you are Caucasian, you are small framed, and smokers as well, they're all at high risk. And if your mother had osteoporosis, you're probably likely coming down the same screening there as well. I think the other things is from 50 as well, we must check our hearing, we must do our eye test, and please, if you have teeth, look after them. We only have one set, so we want to be able to keep them for a long time. And also, colon cancer.
You're right,
screening.
It's all downhill from 50, Professor. But I think that, as you've said, really it's awareness of the self, and it's listening to the body, it's being as healthy as we possibly can, and it's going for those very necessary tests at the right time, because you're a living example of early detection. So thank you so much for your time, Prof. It's been wonderful having you on the show.
Next time I'm coming into the studio, I'm going to sit there and look you in the eyes. That will be
Absolutely. Thank you so much
for coming on to the show. Okay.
Bye-bye. Professor Elna McIntosh, a clinical sexologist and breast cancer warrior. We do apologize. It wasn't the clearest line, which is a pity because she had so much value. But I hope that you managed to get some of it. And if there's anything that you missed, if you stepped away from the show for a while, do remember that we do podcast it. So from tomorrow, it should be on the Chai FM website.